We've got on two of our favorite guys to talk to, two of our favorite dignitaries. They were at the TV upfronts. From Tomorrow Will Be Televised, Simon Applebaum, and from Queens Chronicle, Good Times Magazine, and other many other fine outlets, Lloyd Carroll. We've got the Odd Couple back with us here tonight. Simon and Lloyd, good to have you fellas back in. How you doing?
Well, you know what? Maybe given some of the shows we've seen, maybe you should do a revival of the network with us, Simon. I'm game. What do you think?
You want to play the Tony Randall role or the Jack Klugman role, Lloyd?
I think I'm more the sports writer, so I think I'm a natural for the Klugman role.
Yeah,
I'll take it. Hi, Rick, by the way. Congrats on segment 149 and advance on 150.
Thank you very much, Simon, and I'm looking forward to talking to you on 150. We've got a very special lineup laid out here, a chance to talk to a lot of our favorite people on a lot of our favorite topics there. Let's start here tonight with the upfronts, and I'll just start with what I know is going to be a big hot button here. I know Lloyd's got some thoughts as well, but I know Lloyd wants to hear you talk about it here, Simon, particularly the CW, I guess, standing out among the networks here, but lack of diversity, especially relative to what we saw from them last year, and your very vociferous thoughts on that.
Well, Rick, it's not just a lack of diversity on the CW. It's broadcast television overall. Out of 20-plus new scripted shows that are going to be coming on the networks this fall, not one lead actor of color on a new NBC, on a new CBS, on a new CW, and a new Fox show. Only two on ABC were the co-stars of Charlie's Angels, Annie Lontant, and Kerry Washington, wonderful stage actress, played a lot on Broadway, who's doing Scandal, the new Shonda Rhimes series, creator of Grey's Anatomy, that's premiering over winter of next year. That's pathetic. Coming off a year where we thought we had some diversity advancements, to have this kind of situation where very few lead actors of color, very few supporting actors of color, and goodness knows if any people behind the scenes producing, directing, and so forth, at a time when nearly 40% of the country is people of color, and we're running headlong toward the multicultural majority, which is going to come, I think, a lot sooner than we all believe, is just unacceptable. And I think there has to be a national dialogue on the part of the broadcast networks about this. Cable is growing better, a lot more happening in other aspects of communication, too. And to see this lack of diversity is just plain unacceptable. And I got a feeling the NAACP and a lot of other advocacy groups are going to go volcanic when they really get the ramifications of this.
Oh, absolutely. I know they're going to have some thoughts on the subject, as does Lloyd, based on my conversation with him off air earlier.
Well, yeah, I used to joke for years that the CW stood for completely white. Simon's 100% on the money. It's not reflective of what's going on in this country. And the truth of the matter is that it's not good business. It's not just being politically correct that there should be more minorities. This is what advertisers, it's a growing segment of the population. Yes, he's right. We're getting at least to the 50%, I don't know what you could say, minority becoming a majority. So it's not smart business. I just don't get it. Simon's 100% right.
That is something that really jumps out when you look at the lineups that were unveiled and some of the folks that were being put forward there. Simon, what were aside from that, what were some of the biggest stories to you of the week in terms of the directions that the major networks went?
One is more women starring in shows, both comedy and drama, and writing and producing them. I think many of them are abominable. The Whitney show on NBC, I think, is one of the first to go with Whitney Cummings. She has two shows on, one on CBS, one she's starring in on NBC. I think the NBC one will bomb and bomb big, be one of the first to be pulled off the air. And also, I think people are trying to do the Mad Men format in shows like the Playboy Club on NBC and Pan Am on ABC. And then we have this whole other world. I call this the otherworldly year. It's the year of the otherworldly show, the cop show that has the otherworld or fantasy tendencies, the show like Once Upon a Time on ABC, shows like Secret Circle on the CW. And one more thing about the CW, Heart of Dixie, which is this new doctor drama. I wonder if the producers read the census. Guess where the big growth of Latinos is? The South. And in that program, going back to the diversity situation, not one Latino was featured in a scene, in a clip from that program. And going back to what we said earlier, that's 40% of your audience that could be watching your network, whether it's NBC, ABC, CBS. If you don't reflect that percent of the population, they're going to go elsewhere. They will go to cable. They will go to TNT or BET or Lifetime if they reflect what's going on. So, as I've said before in this program and other places, I think any television network that is not reflecting diversity in front of them, behind the camera, and in the executive suite is playing with fire. And this is not the time to play with fire.
Now, old habits die hard, it seems. Lloyd, what were some of the big things that stood out to you for the week? Was there anything, for example, as execrable as last year's infamous shedding for the wedding?
You know, I was disappointed that Don Ostroff didn't put that back on the schedule. We could have used a good laugh. Actually, in fairness to the CW, they do have Mario Lopez hosting an offbeat reality series called Hater, which is where fans who've tweeted or whatever they call that, knocking a celebrity, actually get to meet that celebrity who they've been knocking in person. So it's kind of like a candid camera meet the celebrity thing, which, you know, kind of an offbeat idea. You know, it'll be interesting to see how that works. The other thing I thought was kind of bizarre was, as Simon alluded to, all this kind of fairy tale stuff. I forgot to mention Grimm on NBC versus Once Upon a Time versus The Secret Circle. I mean, although I have to say I'm a little disappointed that the CW did get rid of Hellcats, but they brought back a show about witches. So goodbye, cheerleaders. Hello, witches. And, of course, we still love our vampires.
Yeah. I give CW prop for this. They kept Nikita on, and by all accounts, it should not have been on past the first year. Maggie Q is wonderful. I mentioned last year I thought Maggie Q would be a great, great Nikita. The question with the show was, would they get the format the way it was done on USA Network with Peter Wilson? It was very clear the producers did not. It became an action shoot-up. It didn't become a character study, but they've got a second chance because Nikita got minuscule ratings, no matter how you slice it. But,
well, actually, I think CW executives were afraid of you, Simon. That's why they renewed the show.
But give them credit for getting it on, and I don't know if the move to Friday night, it's going to go on Friday night, 8 o'clock, is going to help. But this gives at least the producers a second chance to get it right, and I hope they really do.
This the fall lineups coming out this year, it's very curious in particular, Lloyd, for as much as you cover sports as well as TV and entertainment. I mean, actually, what don't you cover? You cover so many different subjects, but a lot of sports stuff among what you cover. You had to be looking then with a doubly keen eye at NBC, because I'll tell you what, going back to our previous conversation tonight with Alex Marvez, no NFL this fall. NBC going to be screwed with Sunday nights.
Well, it's ironic you mention that. They are the network that actually telecasts the fewest NFL games is actually the one that's going to get hurt the most by the lack of that Sunday night game. That really is their biggest ratings grabber, and obviously we're looking at it to drive and, you know, promotions for their fall lineup. Ironically, ESPN, which you think would suffer because they're sports, they were almost thrilled. They'd say, where you got football, we got more than anybody else, put your dad dollars here. So that's one of the ironies that I saw in that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is kind of ironic.
We got Simon. The other big story about Dick Ebersole calling it a career there. It's funny, we saw him, I'm sorry Simon's not on the line here, but he looked extremely disheveled at that NBC up front. He did not look good. I mean, Dick is always kind of dapper Dick, and he looked like somebody just rolled him out of bed.
That is kind of odd. Simon actually commented that to me. I spoke to him on the phone the day that happened. I talked to him off air, and he had the same observation here. We've been working to get Simon back on here. His connection has been kind of tenuous.
I'm going to look here. With us. I heard a little beep in there.
All right. I guess I will be able to pose this to him now. Simon, I'm going to follow up with you on what we just talked to Lloyd about here. Sunday night football, the very devastating loss to NBC on their overall schedule if there is a lockout extending into this fall, and Dick Ebersole's departure from NBC. Comment on these sports angles vis-a-vis NBC, please, Simon.
Well, first, NBC needs Sunday Night Football and needs it desperately. And right now, it looks like there's no end in sight to this lockout. We have to wait to see what the courts do. And they do need it. NBC, according to their new programming chief, Bob Greenblatt, says if there is a delay in the NFL season, they'll make up for it with live event programming. And I have to say that on Monday, when Dick Ebersole came out at the upfront, he looked very disheveled. He looked out of it. He threw footballs, nerf-sized footballs to the crowd. And you got this sense that he may have known then, and we didn't, in the audience, that the end was near for him.
That is very interesting. As I say, you commented that to me on the phone the day that it happened. And, again, for really one of the giants in the game here, let me get some thoughts from both of you guys, because at this point in time, frankly, it's all just speculation, but what the hell? It's a fascinating parlor game, and that's what we're all about here on this show. Simon, if you had a guess, what would be your guess on where he's heading next?
I think he'll do his own thing. I think he'll do his own independent company. And he's had a great record. He's had some bombs. And I think with the Olympics coverage, as you know, over the years, I've criticized the fact that NBC does not know how to market and promote and publicize the games. They did not put the games on Telemundo in prime time. I think it's in the Beijing games to have the Latino audience wait till 2 a.m. in the morning or 4 a.m. in the morning to catch the games. I thought it was a slap in the face at them. I thought the Plug We Live situation was awful. The 96 Olympics, which was his coming out, I think, with the Olympics from Atlanta, which should be one of the great live events of all time, turned out to be a dud in every which way, from on-air to graphics and the way they treated the athletes. But you got to give him credit for how he handled Sunday Night Football. I think it's one of the best things on television in terms of production. Certainly his handling of talent like Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, the way he also got the NHL to continue on NBC, and maybe they will make money on that. I think NBC is now, with Versus, like single-handedly saving the league in terms of television exposure. So you got to give Ebersole a lot of credit for a lot of things he did and some of the deals down the stretch, getting the Triple Crown back on one network.
All right, well, gentlemen, we have one final segment we need to get to before we sign off here at 8:58. So let me just put it out there to each of you guys. Start with you, Simon. If there's anything additional that people should know about, we know they can find you at Tomorrow Will Be Televised with both your blog and your podcasts that are up there every week. But anything else to plug, Simon, please take it away.
Well, we're on Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Blog Talk Radio. I've also have a column in Media Biz Bloggers of the same name. Tomorrow will be televised. And we're also on podcast 24/7. You can pick us up on any mobile device from iTunes.com. Coming up on our show, incidentally, on Friday, we're going to be doing an hour on Latino television. We'll have Flavio Morales. He is the head of programming for Mundo, the Telemundo spinoff, which has been doing very well with a new bilingual drama on Sunday nights called RPM Miami at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. And we'll also have Jose Chilin. He is the head of MTV Trace, MTV's bilingual network. And it shows the incredible variety that's happening now in Latino television. One final thing on NBC, show to watch, and I think it's among all the broadcast networks, the one show I was impressed with, Prime Suspect, the American version of the British hit with Helen Mirren. Maria Bello, formerly of ER, is in this. She plays the Jane Tennyson role. And I think she could very well, if the pilot is any indication, she may be up for an Emmy this time next year.
Well, that'll be something to check out and clip and save on that prediction. Lloyd, take it away on any of your thoughts here. Anything
okay.
You need to plug?
Final thought just on the TV thing. It's amazing how little buzz Charlie's Angels got. You remember when we were growing up, that was the show of shows in terms of water cooler conversation. Derek Jeter's girlfriend is in that, Minka Kelly, but didn't really seem to create a buzz. But we'll see what happens as we get close to the start of the season. Hopefully people can check me out every week at queenschronicle.com under SportsBeat. And if you really want to see Lloyd Carol Uncensored, you can go to www.nysportsday, New York Sports Day, nysportsday.com.
Well, Simon, it's great stuff. Lloyd, I'm on your email list. I love it as well. Both of you guys, always a pleasure. We'll be catching up with you again. And Simon, on the very next one here on 150, thank you guys so much. You've been a big part, both of you guys, in helping us get to 150.
My pleasure, Rick. We'll touch base soon.
Appreciate it, guys. You guys are two of our favorites. Thank you so much. Simon Applebaum and Lloyd Carroll, everybody. True pleasure to have them on.